Wow, where to begin? My last opportunity to be with you guys. It's amazing. It's humbling, and it's hard. But I was thinking by a series of events that happened just today here at Velocity. First off, this right here, Sarah made it for me, and a collage, and I look better in this picture actually here than in real life, so I'm going to go ahead and roll with this one. That's what I look like. But I also had a song written for me and a poem, actually. And they're creations. They're meant to express something. They're meant to express someone's feelings about a situation, and whether it was funny or serious or whatever, but it gets me right there. And so I thought, well, since we have about 15, 20 minutes, let's just start in the book of beginnings. Let's start in Genesis. Let's just start there, because it says in the beginning that God created, and he created for the very reason that he wanted to breathe life into people. And it kind of seems to be an overarching theme in my life, is the fact that God so lovingly breathed life into me. And it talks about in Genesis 2 that after creating Adam, that he created Eve as well. And he actually took from Adam a rib and then formed woman out of that rib so that they could live together. They could have life together. They could share memories together. They could have emotions together. They could have children together. They could live a life together. And isn't that what our lives are about? We talked about it a little bit this past weekend, but we live in a relationship with people. We have life with people. And from Genesis to Revelation, what fills the gap is stories of people, right? What fills the gap is relationships. The good and the bad and the ugly of all of it, but it's relationships. It's just a plethora of different crazy stories, but it's God showing us what real life is about. And it's God trying to portray to us that we actually need him, that he has blessed us with life. We talked about it a couple weeks ago here in Velocity. It's called Common Grace, that he's given life to people. And so we kind of take it, we're going to jump way ahead, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. If you want to turn with me there, you can do that. This has several different meanings for me lately. I want to read to you the story of Jesus' beginning and putting on flesh. Let me read it to you, and then we'll talk about it, okay? It says in verse 26 of chapter 1, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. It means that they were in the engagement process. They weren't quite married, but they were on their way there. And it says that, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She was a little confused. Mary, being a young woman at this time, I mean, possibly a teenager, and this angel comes, speaks to her. And keep in mind, this isn't a normal occasion. This isn't something that just happens. It's believed that before this time that there wasn't much going on in the whole spirit realm. Like, there weren't people talking a lot about, you know, a lot about God. Prophets weren't really speaking very clearly or speaking at all about Jesus or about coming Messiah or about where Israel was at in their relationship with God. But there was possibly 400 years of just people living life, doing their thing, God not really intervening. And so this whole idea of this young woman, this young girl, having an angel come to her and speak to her isn't normal. It's very weird and very confusing probably for her, okay? So what sort of greeting this might be, she's trying to discern, she's trying to figure what in the world's going on here. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, and there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. So she was old, but yet she still had a child. Speaking of John the Baptist. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let me explain this to you. Let me read this to you one more time. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Young woman told that she's going to bear the Messiah. Not even having a relationship with the man. And God is going to come upon her and create a child inside her. And when she births this child, actually it's God in the flesh. That's heavy. That's heavy stuff. But I love this, that God uses, just like what AJ was talking about, uses just everyday people for the most radical, crazy things. What happened from the very beginning of just the book of beginnings of God breathing life into people, now he is taking it a step further, and now he's actually showing people what life is. And life is truly comes from that of Jesus Christ. And he uses this girl, this young girl, and puts this baby in her. And it's kind of interesting, you know what, because I've experienced similar things to this, but actually the complete opposite, but similar. I don't know if that's possible, but in my eyes it is, because was she looking for a baby? No. I mean, no way. She was probably just had her eyes on Joseph, ready to get married, you know? And that's all she was thinking about. Wasn't really thinking about it, really had no ambitions, but yet God gave to her a child. It's kind of interesting. Something that's been going on in my life lately is that me and my wife have been trying to have a child, actually. And we actually had two children, my wife did, and lost one a couple weeks ago, and then just today found out that she lost a second one. And it's kind of ironic that someone who's not looking for it is given it, and someone that is looking for it, and then it is taken away. But yet, all this time, God is declared as the one who is on the throne and the one who is in control of our lives. And it's interesting to me, like, just as much as Mary had no clue what was going on, she said, I love it. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Are you willing to say, let it be to me according to your word? I am your servant, Lord. I will do what you ask. I will be that person for you. Kind of like what we learned this weekend is that we have a gift inside us and we need to fan into flame this gift. God has brought us into a place of life, and we're living, and we're here for a purpose. It's not meaningless. So I would just ask the question, are you willing to say, as Mary did, behold, I am your servant. Let your word be true and do what you want. I mean, would you say that? Would that be your response to something that's so crazy? Because this turned her life upside down. Especially for Joseph. Joseph thought being a just man, being a good man, that not wanting to see Mary get killed, because if she was pregnant outside of marriage, what happens to Mary? She gets stoned. Well, I mean, rocks. Okay. Some people, we won't go there, but no, she gets killed. Okay. That's the wrong way to deal with problems. Okay. So they're going to kill her. Joseph said, we're going to hide this whole thing. We're going to try to get away with this, and because I don't want to see this happen to her. This turned her life upside down. When God uses you, it will turn your life upside down. And what seems to be the worst will actually be the best. And I've probably been through some of the hardest couple of weeks of my life in a lot of ways. Never thought that I could experience these emotions for a child that barely existed. barely existed. Barely existed. And so, but I had these emotions flood over me. Emotions of being a father, emotions of my wife being a mother. But yet I don't even know where it came from, you know? And just mind blowing, but now it ceased and it stopped and it's not going to happen right now. But behold, I am your servant, Lord. Let your word be so in my life. Let the things that you speak over me, Lord, let it be true and let it happen. God speaks things into existence. God speaks his will for our lives. It says that God has pre-ordered good works for our lives. And for me, kind of share with where I'm doing now is I'm getting ready to move to Indiana, as most of you guys know, and I'm going to start a church. And I want God to fan into a flame the gift that he has in me to be a pastor, to be a teacher, to be someone who can take nothing and to create something. I want to follow my Lord in that way because God created from nothing and made something. How do you do that? I mean, we can create, right? We can make something. I mean, this was created by various things, but it had existing parts already then put together, but God created from nothing, and God wants me to go and to take something that maybe hardly exists. It has the elements are there, but to put it together and to form a church, kind of like what you guys do here. You guys are a church. You guys come from different backgrounds and different places, and you guys come together, and you guys leave actually together as what AJ was talking about as the body of Christ. What an amazing thing. And so God is asking me to do that. And the church is going to be called Vintage Indianapolis. And we're going to start in June. And so I would ask that you guys would be praying for us. I would ask that you guys would keep in contact with us. And at the end of the service, I have some business cards back there with my email on it. And so I want you guys to take that and you guys can email me and let me know what's going on with your lives and also keep updated with what's going on in my life and things like that. But I wanted to share one more thing with you, and that is that God is looking to and fro. It means he's kind of like scouring the earth. He's scouring this world. I like what Ethan said at the peak. He talked about God sitting up in heaven and he said he was just kind of chilling. And I love that, the thing of God just chilling in heaven. And God's up there chilling in heaven. And one verse in the Bible, I couldn't find it. I didn't look that hard. But it talks about God looking to and fro. He looks from this side to this side, back and forth, side to side. And he's looking for that person to whom he can show himself strong in. Who can he pour into? Who can he show himself strong in? And did you guys know that? That's you guys, as well as myself. That's AJ, that's Kevin. He's saying, who can I show myself strong in? Who would say, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Who would say that, Lord, here I am? And we learned this past week in Isaiah, here I am, send me. God, if you would so choose, use me. What would your response be? And if God is looking around and looking for that person, what is your response? Because God is looking. And the response has to start with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The response has to start with you acknowledging Jesus and who he is and what he has done. And so to close this whole chapter of my life, which is sad, and it's been amazing and it's been a blessing, and I can't even adequately articulate it in words that even make sense because it's just been mind-blowing. Everything from things like this to the sarcasm to the jokes about my nose and the jokes about Indiana and getting killed, actually. I mean, who would have thought getting killed? But I'm here, so I don't know how that works out. But it's been amazing. I mean, who gets to like go out into the countryside and ride horses and call it youth ministry? I mean, I did. I mean, who gets to do these kind of things? I did. Who gets to go out with a bunch of guys and play glow-in-the-dark dodgeball and just like rock kids in the face with balls, you know? Not intentionally, but it may have happened once or twice. Who gets to take like pool noodles and just beat the living daylights out of each other? Who gets to do that? And then who gets to come up here and say, I want to impart something to you guys that God has shared with me. And I want you guys to know that the same love that I have for the Lord and what God is doing in me, that God can then do the same thing in you. Who gets to do that? I've been able to do that for a year and a half. God has taken me from just an idiot kid, 17 years old, being a church counselor with kids that are your age. And then the next week, I was a camper. Then the next week, I was in jail for breaking the building and doing stupid stuff. And at that time, God spoke to me and got a hold of my life, and he began to put me on this process of growing in him. And now, I mean, 10, 11 years later, I'm going to start a church. It's nuts. It blows my mind. Behold, once again, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from here. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Do according to your word. God, do according to your word in my life. And God, do according to your word in your life. When God speaks, will you answer? If you don't answer, your life will be devastating. If you don't answer, your life will always be hoping and wishing and desiring and longing for something that you can't ever grasp. It'll be like trying to catch the wind. You'll always be trying to find love in women, in guys, in something out there, in some type of pleasure, in something. If it's not Jesus, you will always be grasping for the wind and you will never be able to obtain it unless it begins with Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Isaiah. Everybody turn there. Isaiah. Some people have called this book the fifth gospel, actually, because it speaks so much about Jesus. Let me just read this to you because I think it's the best thing to do. Let me just kind of let the cat out of the bag here. This is talking about Jesus, okay? Let me read this. It says, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, speaking of Jesus, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't good looking. This is an average Joe, you know? He was despised and rejected by men. And the funny thing is, it just wasn't men. It was his friends. It was people that he gave his life to. He defended. He invested. He served. He washed their feet. He became a bondservant to them and then was betrayed by them. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. We didn't lift him up in a way of honor. We didn't look at Jesus and say, look at this man, look what this honorable thing he is doing, but we despised him for his actions and we rejected him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What do we call that, guys? The Lord has laid on him our iniquity, our sin. We call that the great exchange. We call that when God has taken all of our sin, all of your corrupt thoughts and all of your wicked ways and all the things that say you have rejected God because of your actions, because of your words, and the fact that you right now would sit in this chair and laugh at what I say, and you would sit in this chair and mock the God who created you. That's what he's talking about. That's the God I'm talking about. That's the God that died for you. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And let me, I will finish the story. And so if God took these things, if God took our sin upon his shoulders on the cross, what do we get in return for that? Well, I will finish the story and then I'll explain. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to articulate to these people, hey, I'm innocent, I'm not guilty, I didn't do these things. What's actually happening here was spoken about by Isaiah, was spoken about in Genesis chapter 3. It was spoken about that it's necessary for me to do these things. Do you not understand? I came strictly that you would know that I love you. That God being infinite and so majestic, but that I would come and put aside my godness. Not really a word, I don't know. But I would put it aside and become like you and take all of your junk. Like a lamb. He didn't try to defend himself. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of the people. And the exchange that we now receive is his righteousness. That he then, like we talked about in Acts chapter 1, he went to be with the Lord and he sat at the right hand of the Father and he governs our lives. And he is the one who is over everything. He is the one that causes this world to consist and to continue. He is the one who causes us to wake up every morning to see the sun. And he puts breath into us every second of the day. He continues to plead and to be long-suffering and to ask that you would come to him. Because this is the gospel, that you were separated from Jesus Christ because of your sin. And God said, how can I take what was distant and make it near to me? There's only one thing, that if God and all of my righteousness would come down and pay the penalty for you who are guilty, I will take what is deserving of you, which is death. I will take what has separated you, which is your sin. I will take it and then I will then give you all of my righteousness, and I will declare you which should be guilty, I will declare you free. I will declare you free, and then I won't even leave you in that position. I will then say that you are perfect, and you are now loved by God, and now you are now brought near to God. That's the gospel. Paul said that, all I know is Christ and him crucified, and I leave this place saying, all I know is Jesus Christ and his love for me and his love for you. And you would be a fool not to fully give yourself over to him. Let me pray for you guys. Lord Jesus, I love these kids, Lord, and I'm so blessed to be part of their lives. I'm so blessed that you have honored me by letting me serve them. Lord, I ask that you would grow them, that you would draw them closer to you, Lord. Lord, I ask that the gospel would just be ringing in their ears and just pounding on the doors of their hearts, Lord, and that they would receive you into their lives, Lord. Lord, I just ask that salvation would come. Lord, I ask that you would just do mighty things, Lord. I pray for Kevin and AJ, Lord, that you would just bless all of their endeavors, Lord. You would bless the ministry and you would bless Velocity and these students. I love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.